from Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Last night, in preparation for this holiest of holy days, I watched again for the first time since its release, The Passion of the Christ. Some of you are familiar with that movie. And I remember a scene from the movie that had not captured my attention with the first viewing. As Jesus gathered in the garden on that holy Thursday, as we celebrated this week what we call Monday Thursday. Monday Thursday meaning Mandate Thursday, when Jesus gave to us a new mandate or a new commandment to love one another. And in the movie, in this depiction of the Passion, translated through the movie The Passion of the Christ, as Jesus is gathering in the garden in prayer, as he is bleeding with sweat, pouring from his face and pleading with God to strengthen him in this great time of trial and tribulation, his disciples, his friends, Peter and John, were there. And Peter looked upon his friend and Lord. And after Jesus went from their presence, Peter said this. Peter proclaimed, "He looks afraid." Consider with me the humanity in that statement. That Jesus, in the great mystery of our faith, that let's be honest, that we truly can't grasp or understand, is holy, divine, holy God, and at the same time, human, wrestling with the same question. The same temptations that we face. Isn't there a holiness in knowing and believing that about our Lord as well? Could it be true that Peter was on to something? That Jesus, even in his humanity, faced questions and the fear of life and its many challenges? You know, if we read closely this passage of Scripture today, Matthew, the gospel writer, he lays before us this word fear, or being afraid, three times prominently in this reading, as if to say, this is something that we all face. It's part of life, the fears that we face, the tribulations, the trials. It's part of being human. And you know, as we gather here as people of God, as God's children on this holy day, I'm sure if we did a survey, there would be a vast array of fears today. Fears of things we don't want to face, or fear from the things that are already attacking us. Perhaps those fears are family turmoil, our addictions, our challenges, our adversities, or the unrest in our world, the fears are all around for all of us. Because we are human. We are a broken people living in a broken world. We, my friends, are in need of a Savior. You know, as we consider the holiness of Easter, that's the thing that we proclaim most of all on this glorious day. That God looked down from heaven and saw His children in need. Isn't that what parents do? When we think of the greatest example of love we know, perhaps it's a parent, or a grandparent, or a school teacher, or someone in our church. The thing that they displayed to us more than anything else was a love to be with us in our need. Friends, may we embrace this day that that's the nature of our God. He looked down from heaven and saw us in our fear, in our brokenness, in our imperfection, needing restoration. And He sent His Son to be our Savior, human and divine, for us all. Friends, that's the promise of Easter. And that's the life we have in our holy God by trusting in Him. You know, throughout Easter, we have journeyed through this season, what our friends in the Jewish faith call Passover. How fitting it is that as Jesus approached that holy feast of Passover with His friends, that's what they celebrated on Thursday. That Monday, Thursday that we recognize today, Jesus was having a meal, a Passover feast. And as a reminder to us, the Passover is the celebration for the people Israel of what they've come through. Remembering their past. Remembering their past when they were in Egypt. Some of us know that story. When they were in slavery, in bondage. So the Passover was a celebration, perhaps like we would celebrate on the 4th of July, our independence as a nation. And for those who've served our nation, it seems just a little more precious when you were a part of that journey. That, my friends, was the journey for the people, Israel, the celebration of Passover, of what God had delivered them from. And here, my friends, Jesus has become for us the Passover lamb for we as Christian people of faith. During the Passover, there was a time to remember the sacrifice. And Jesus became, on that holy evening and on Good Friday, the holy sacrifice for us all. You know, if we think of the bondage that the people Israel had in their slavery, I can relate. I don't know about you, but my own slavery, my own bondage, my own sinfulness, my own times of wandering away from God, searching for happiness in things that oftentimes leave me empty. Maybe you've been at that place in your life, or perhaps even today you feel that you're in slavery to some brokenness, some peril in your life. As we think about that journey for the people of Israel, we think about it in our life. You know, if we break that word down, where Paul tells us in his letter to the church in Rome, he wrote in Romans 6 this, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To break that down, though, to just a simple subject, verb, and object, think of the profoundness of that statement. Sin, when we serve sin, we have to pay. And what we pay is a wage. Sin, there's a wage, and it's death. But on the opposite of that, when we serve God, There's not a wage, there is this. When we serve God, there is a gift, and that gift is life. You see the contradiction? Our walking away from God is our imperfection. It's not that God is yearning to condemn us and convict us. No, our sin separates us from God, and we're all broken. We all are imperfect, in need of restoration. That, my friends, is why Jesus came down from heaven. That is why Isaiah said in his words of prophecy, get this with me, Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Christ was born. These are the words he wrote. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. For by his wounds we were healed. Isaiah continues by saying this. Think of this. In the spirit of the Passover, as the people Israel celebrated the sacrificial lamb, symbolizing their seeking for God's forgiveness for their sins, Jesus became the Lamb for us. Isaiah prophesied that 700 years before by saying this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But he, not us, was led like a lamb to the slaughter because the Lord placed upon him the sin of us all. Friends, that is Isaiah proclaiming what is to come. What Christ Jesus came down from heaven to do for us, what we quite literally could not do alone. He gave us the gift of life when we simply embrace and treasure his salvation. But you know, as I reflect on Easter, and I reflect upon my own faith, it's not just a promise of heaven or of something to come that we celebrate on this holiest of days. No, you know, I'm convinced more and more daily that life in Christ is not just about eternity. Life in Christ, my friends, is having our best life even now. It's the love of our faith. It's the surrender of trusting God for our decisions and not ourselves. It's the willingness to walk in His ways instead of the ways of the world. You know, as I think about this passage of Scripture where Jesus visits with the Marys, as He talks with them about the resurrection and proclaims love and joy to them, there are three lessons that I take away from this Scripture about how Easter strengthens us daily. One is that Jesus comes to comfort these women in their grief. Friends, isn't that reassuring? That as Jesus saw the sorrow in their hearts, as He knew they were broken and grieving, He came to them and He gave comfort. He conquered their friends. God wants to journey with all of us. He wants to be with us in our fear, in our challenges, in our adversities, to strengthen us daily, not just in a life to come, but even, friends, in the here and now. Jesus is our comfort in life. Not only does He comfort us, but the Scripture tells us here that He helps us to believe. You see how, as He exchanged with the Marys, He said to them, "Tell my brothers they'll see me in Galilee." Friends, do you know what Galilee was? Yes, Galilee was the home for Jesus and His friends. But you know what else Galilee was? It was where some of the most broken, destitute people lived. Is there any coincidence that Jesus made His home there? Where there was the greatest suffering, The greatest darkness, the most need for restoration and healing and love and mercy and grace, that's where Jesus set up his camp. And he does the same for us. He comes to us in our Galilee, in our worst time, in our darkest time, in our most fearful state, in our most sinful existence. Jesus comes, bringing restoration to help us believe. You see, he resurrected from the dead. But he didn't just share the word. He made himself present. You know, I want to be real with you a little bit today on Easter. Sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard for us to believe. Sometimes we give up hope, maybe in the church. I think of a time in my life in college where I'd almost given up on the church. And if I'm honest, maybe in some ways I was giving up on God too. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had questions so deep as, if it's really real, God, if you're good, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much brokenness, so much hate and devastation in our world? Those are the questions we have in our darkest times if we're honest with God and ourselves. You know what I found in my own questioning? That God in his grace didn't force himself upon me. He waited. And he yearned for me to come home like the story of the prodigal son. And when I made my turn back to God, guess what I found? He was running toward me. Friends, that's the power and the grace of how Jesus helps us in our belief. You know the words of Scripture? Where the person said, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Friends, God yearns to meet you if that's where you are today, to help you believe. A third thing that Jesus gives us and promises us in Easter is this. One of the most precious gifts of our faith in the here and now is this. That Jesus, the Christ, gives us joy. Joy. You know what I love about joy? Is how it transcends happiness. Happiness so often is dependent upon our circumstances, what we're going through. But joy is like happiness on steroids. Joy transcends circumstances. Joy is a way that we can live in vibrance and love for God no matter what we face. Friends, that is a gift from on high, and it's present in our scripture today. As the Marys were grieved, as they were broken, as they were shackled with fear, Jesus came and this is what he said. Do you hear it in our translation? It says in our translation that Jesus said, "Greetings." And indeed, the word that Jesus used is a formal greeting. But you know what the root of that word is? It's rejoice. Rejoice. That is why Jesus came to this earth. So that we may have life eternal. But that we may have joy forever, to live our best life surrounded in his love. So this Easter, it gives me joy to say to you, people of faith, he is risen. We got to do that again. He is risen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we gather on this holy day celebrating that you embrace us even like the thief on the cross who simply uttered this, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God, will you help us to believe? Will you be with us in our unbelief? And if there are those here today who've never fully embraced life in you, or maybe they feel that they've drifted away from you, will you make yourself known today in a way that they've never known? Will you make yourself real through the power of your Holy Spirit, proclaiming and affirming to them, even in their questions, that we have life in you by doing nothing but simply embracing that you did it all? Will you give us that peace? Will you proclaim your love that we may embrace the salvation of our faith this day and forever through the gift, sacrifice, and love of our Savior. It's in His holy name we pray. Amen.